I know it feels like the end of the world out there for some Kentucky fans, but hold on. It looks like the Wildcats may actually finally be picking up a player in the transfer portal.
You are Locked On Kentucky, your daily podcast on the Kentucky Wildcats, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, what is going on, Big Blue Nation? Welcome on in to Locked On Kentucky, your daily Kentucky Wildcats podcast. I'm your host, Lance Dahl, writer for Sports Illustrated for various SEC-related things. But on this podcast, we take a dive into all things Kentucky athletics. On today's episode of Locked On Kentucky, we are going to be discussing a similar topic to what we have been discussing over the past few months, actually. Transfer portal news with Kentucky, but the question here today is, will the Wildcats actually end up picking somebody up, especially now that we have moved on from the entire Oscar Tshiebwe debacle? Also, Antonio Reeves reportedly being pursued by multiple Big Ten schools, going to dive into how important it is that the Wildcats keep him on the roster this upcoming season. Thank you so much for making Locked On Kentucky your first listen every single day. Want to remind everybody out there that we are free and available on all platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see right now we've got a new setup for the channel moving forward, how things look. Hopefully you guys like it. Let me know what you think in the comments below. So let's go ahead and get into it. There is a transfer portal player out there that entered the transfer portal, I believe, about 48 hours ago and has been contacted by Kentucky almost immediately. And so you'd like to think that the Wildcats are in the race for his services. In case you did not hear, Arthur Kaluma, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. He is a forward from Creighton, 6'7", 6'8", depending on where you look, 220-ish pounds. He is a former four-star prospect, solid recruit, and so far through two seasons for the Blue Jays, he has been a very solid player, averaged 10 points in his first freshman season with the Blue Jays, almost 12 points per game this past season. And I think the important thing we need to note here about Kaluma is that he improved statistically. You look at his shooting numbers from year one to year two, and I think that what Kentucky wants out of their backup four spot is somebody that can stretch outside the arc and knock down a few threes. He went from 26.5% in his freshman year to 31% in his sophomore season. Now you may say, well, Lance, we aren't necessarily looking for 31% shooters. We're looking for players that can actually knock down outside shots. And this is something that I have talked about on the show recently with the addition of John Welch. You guys have asked me how this new assistant coach is going to change Kentucky's offensive philosophy. I feel like players like Kaluma would benefit from coming to a place like Kentucky for a couple of different reasons. John Welch, I think, being one of them. He is a very valuable asset, I think, to this year's basketball teams in terms of individual player development and helping different guys improve in certain areas of their game. I think Kaluma will not only statistically improve if he is choosing the Wildcats, but I also think that his shot volume is not going to directly affect how his three-point percentage ends up at the end of the season. And let me explain what I mean by that. Jacob Toppin is a player that was able to dramatically improve his three-point jump shot in his fourth season with the Wildcats, or fourth season in college, I should say. And he was able to take maybe one or two threes a game and hit them at a relatively high clip. I don't think that Arthur Kaluma is going to be taking a ton of three-point shots with the Wildcats. Again, this is if he were to commit. Averaged 3.5 threes a game last season. I would expect that to go down a tick because of the fact that Aaron Bradshaw would be pairing up with Kaluma. But I would expect with the smaller volume of shots, there would be more selection and more decisiveness in those threes actually going up. And so I think you would see Kaluma become a more efficient player. When I first heard the news about Kentucky reaching out to Arthur Kaluma, I was not particularly excited because I went and looked at his numbers. I'm like, oh, well, he became a worse two-point shooter and his three-point percentage is not that great. And also statistically, I mean, he's a good rebounder on top of this, but is that what Kentucky really wants? And then I kind of started to think through what we've been talking about here on the show recently, which is that Kentucky simply does not have a lot of options in the transfer portal right now, and they need to be able to go out and execute in the portal and get whoever they can. And I think that there's a lot of upside to a player like Kaluma. Again, 12 points per game in his sophomore season. He went from a 67% free throw shooter to a 74% foul line shooter. Statistically, I think that he's grown. He also had more minutes this past season. Was taking essentially the same amount of field goals per game. Go and look at his charts. You can check him out over at Sports Reference, or you can check him out at ESPN.com. I think that this would be a really nice pairing with Aaron Bradshaw because it is somebody that has proven that they can be a double-digit scorer at another prominent school in what you could argue is the Power 6. Some people want to say Power 5 now. I still think it's a Power 6, in my opinion. I think the Big East is still certainly up there, and I think they definitely proved it this past season with how they performed getting to the NCAA tournament. So Arthur Kaluma, currently right now, number one, I would argue, on Kentucky's board. They showed interest in Kaluma, who withdrew his name from the draft just a couple of days ago. ESPN reports that Kentucky, Alabama, Texas, and Texas Tech are among the schools immediately showing interest in the former Blue Jay. Go check out an article about him over at catspaws.com 24/7. Our friend of the program, Aaron Gershon, wrote an article about him just a couple of days ago. So straightforward. We talked about it on, I believe it was Wednesday's episode, and I'm going to repeat it here again. Kentucky needs to get bodies in the room, plain and simple. They currently have, as we've said a million times, 7 scholarship players for this year's upcoming team. You have to get some transfer portal players in, and you can't let a double-digit scorer at such a good school. And actually, on top of this, he was a good recruit. You can't let him slip. There is no argument that can be made outside of maybe inefficient shooting at times why Kentucky shouldn't pick up Arthur Kaluma to back up or be paired with Aaron Bradshaw. I want to know what you guys think about this pickup. Would it be interesting? Would it be something that you would be excited about? You can check that. Check us out in the YouTube comments below. Let me know what you think. I really do want to know what the Big Blue Nation wants out of their power forward spot, because again, I talked about this a lot on Wednesday. Just because you have currently one center on your roster, so to speak, and Aaron Bradshaw, at the end of the day, you could play him there if you wanted to. I mean, that's definitely a possibility, but let's just say for argument's sake, because if you pull a player from one place, then it leaves a hole in another. You need a backup center, or you need somebody to rotate at center. We talked about this at length in terms of what could minutes look like for a transfer portal center for the Wildcats. For power forward, if you were able to land this guy as opposed to somebody who was a legitimate backup, a 5.5-6 point per game type of guy at another school that wasn't as highly of rated as rated of a recruit as Kaluma, you know, you would take that. I mean, this late in the cycle, you would certainly take it. But if you're able to get a guy like Arthur Kaluma to come to your program and be willing as a third-year player to pair up with Aaron Bradshaw, that would be great. I think the sales pitch to this Blue Jay here is pretty straightforward. And we've speculated on the show over, you know, what sales pitches to these kids look like. I think that it's money, first of all, NIL opportunities. It's most certainly exposure if he's interested in that. I think Kentucky would be a great school. To be fair, though, who are the other teams that were interested in him? Texas Tech, Alabama, Texas. I mean, those are also really, really good schools as of right now. Texas Tech, in terms of exposure, I think that those would be really good schools for Kaluma to check out as well. But you get money, you get exposure, and then on top of this, I think you get a pretty clear path to playing time in your senior season. As long as Kentucky doesn't pick up some elite, insane talent at power forward, maybe a Boozer twin, who knows. But Kentucky could definitely use his services this year and then moving forward, because once Aaron Bradshaw, who we assume to be one and done, once he enters the draft and goes through the process and stays, Kaluma would be first in line to be the starting power forward for the Kentucky Wildcats in 2024. So that's exciting. If I were him, a player from Boston, Massachusetts, former four-star player, he's got good size for power forward. He's clearly trying to become a shooter, I think, developing that part of his game. Yeah, we'll take him. Absolutely. We will most certainly take him. Again, if you've got any thoughts on this kid, you can leave that in the YouTube comments below or check me out on the socials at LockedOnUK. Arthur Kaluma currently in being pursued, rather, by the Kentucky Wildcats. I think they've got a good shot to land him. And let's just hope that they do, because at this point, we just need some positive news out there. Speaking of negative news, Antonio Reeves has withdrawn from the transfer, or excuse me, not the transfer portal, has withdrawn from the NBA draft, as we have discussed here on the show. But there are more teams, programs, whatever you want to call them, that are pursuing Reeves' services. It kind of feels like tampering, just a little bit. But Reeves currently, according to reports, is being looked at by a number of Big Ten schools. And I want to talk to you about why I think it's very important that the Wildcats are able to keep him on roster. Before we get to that, though, want to tell you guys about our friends over at Built Bar. If you're looking for a really good snack to kind of maybe supplant a candy bar or maybe something in your life that you're trying to get rid of eating, you need to check out Built Bar. Built Bars are really, really good in terms of taste, covered in 100% real chocolate. And on top of this, they are very, very good for you. 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar. These things are incredible both ways. Tastes great, and also on top of that, very good for you. I eat these, before or after workout sometimes. I think that they are great snack replacements. Again, if you're trying to get rid of starches or candy bars or sweets in your life, I think the Built Bars are really, really good replacements for that, I should say. If you want to check out Built.com, and they've got a ton of different flavors over there, I would highly encourage you to check out Cookies and Cream and Salted Caramel. Those are the two flavors that I absolutely love. If you can't get to Built.com, which I would assume if you have an internet connection, you can. That's how you're listening or watching to me right now, you can check us out over at Walmart or Sam's Club. If you go to Walmart, you can get a 4-bar box of Cookies and Cream, double chocolate bar, or coconut puff. If you're heading over to Sam's Club, you can get a 13-bar box with brownie batter puff, churro puff again. Very good for you. Taste great. I've got friends that have Built Bars consistently on plates throughout their house. This is not a bit. Hunter, if you are watching, what's up? And I've got family as well that have tried them out and said that they were really good. I've got a little brother that really enjoys them as well. So head over to Built.com, and you would, I think, greatly benefit from checking out all the different incredible flavors. And again, if you can't get over there, you can head over to Sam's Club or Walmart for your Built Bars. And once you try them, you can thank me later. All right, continuing along here on the, I believe it is the Friday edition of Locked On Kentucky. I almost just said Tuesday for whatever reason. I had a stroke there over the past minute and a half. Let's see if we can dial back in. Really appreciate everybody out there watching again. Got a new YouTube interface for those watching on the tube. If you are listening on podcast, you can check us out over on YouTube. Subscribe. I would appreciate it. If you're only watching on YouTube or if you're only listening on podcast, I would highly encourage you to check us out on the other platform. At least follow or subscribe wherever you are listening or watching. And after this episode, I would encourage you guys to go check out the Locked On College Basketball podcast. Andy Patton, Isaac Shea do a great job over there breaking down what's going on in the college basketball world. They bring on experts. They bring on coaches. They bring on me quite a bit to talk about the drama going on in the Kentucky sphere. So would encourage you guys to go check them out. Man, I really am having a stroke. Locked On College Basketball podcast, absolutely phenomenal. Final topic I want to get to here on today's episode surrounding Antonio Reeves. Again, reports from about a day or so ago, Antonio Reeves has withdrawn his name from the NBA draft, and he will be looking at either entering the transfer portal or returning to Kentucky. As we had stated for weeks before Antonio Reeves made this announcement, we said that Reeves returning would be determined by a couple of different things: NIL money and playing time. because no veteran senior wants to come and start behind some freshman. That's just not going to happen. And we also talked about the fact that Reeves may even want his NIL money bumped up because of how valuable he could end up being to the Wildcats this upcoming season. I think he knows it. I think the staff knows it. And I think that they're doing everything they can to make sure that he stays with Kentucky. At this point in the cycle, it feels like if the Wildcats are able to keep him, it will be some small miracle that they have been able to have kept Antonio Reeves. In case you didn't see the reports, Illinois and Memphis were two teams that were allegedly interested in pursuing Reeves and getting him into the portal and coming to one of their schools. Michigan, Indiana, and Oklahoma are also interested in picking up Reeves. Not great. Not great for the Wildcats. They need to hold on to Antonio Reeves for a couple of reasons. First of all, like I mentioned a second ago, he will be the most experienced player on this roster if he does decide to return. It would be huge for Kentucky to secure a veteran player who understands the game and is able to help become a mentor to some of these younger players that are coming in, these high-profile five-star players, these guards. I think it would be great to have somebody like Reeves in the backcourt on top of John Welch's knowledge to help develop these players in this offseason. I also think it'll be great whenever these kids get to the cup here, whenever they go to Canada to play some of these big time global teams like Africa and Canada and Germany. I believe they're playing Germany. I may be completely off on that. But anyway, Reeves would be great in helping further their development. Plain and simple. Don't really think that there's any arguing that. On top of this, I think this is something that could be debated depending on how you visualize the rotation this fall, which I think it's not that difficult to do that considering there are only seven players to work with in your head right now. So Reeves, as we all know, had to play point guard at some point last season because of injury. He also played primarily shooting guard, but at times he also slid down to the small forward spot because Kentucky sometimes would want to rotate him down slash they absolutely had to because of injury. He's one of the more versatile pieces on this team, and if you were able to come back, if you had injuries, or if you didn't figure out how to fill in the void at certain places, you could see Reeves be the guy that just fills in the playing time, or ends up getting the start, just straight up. There's a world where he could start at the three, and some of you may not like that. I think that that's definitely a possibility. He could start at the two. Don't think he could start at the one. You could see a world where Reeves comes back. He wants to start at the three. You see Justin Edwards slide down to the four. You see Bradshaw be a tweener at the four and the five. And then you get a transfer portal wing. But I don't know if that's going to happen. If hypothetically we see Arthur Kaluma come to the Wildcats, then you've got your starting four set. You've got your starting two, or you've got your four rotation, your two rotation, and your one rotation set, right? You can slide Thierry around wherever you want, one through three. You can also slide Reeves around wherever you want, one through three. So you could technically, I guess, get away with that. You would still need a transfer portal center, but you could get away with that rotation, one through four. You could be good with that. If you wanted Thierry to play the two or the three at some points, if you wanted to slide Wagner up to the one whenever Dillingham's not in the lineup. I mean, you could do a lot of different things with these guys. Reed Shepard is somebody that I think could end up getting more playing time because of this. There's a lot of different ways you can mix and match it in your head. We're going to have to see this team play a little bit again whenever they go to Canada here in just a few weeks to kind of get more of an understanding as to how these players are going to operate within their positions. And I think Cal is going to put different players at different spots and not necessarily give anybody a ton of playing time. And so I think it's just going to be simply coming down to our analysis of how these different players perform at different positions that will give us a clue as to where they will be heading into the actual season. But Reeves coming back unlocks Kentucky's ability to kind of shift the rotation around. It gives them more leeway to do things with different other players. It gives them more opportunities to let Reeves do things that he wasn't able to do last season in comfortable situations. You still need a four. You still need a five. But if you're able to get Reeves back, You don't need an extra three. You don't need one. Justin Edwards and Antonio Reeves can lock down that spot just fine. So those are the couple of reasons why I think Antonio Reeves needs to come back to the team. If you have any thoughts on Antonio Reeves as to whether or not he's going to stay at Kentucky, as to whether or not he is going to go, again, at this point, it feels like somewhat of a miracle that the Wildcats would have to pull off in order to keep him on roster. Whatever your thoughts are, you can leave them in the YouTube comments below or hit me on the socials at LockedOnUK. And that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Kentucky. You can follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnUK. You can follow me on Twitter at LanceDaw_, and you can follow the show over on Instagram. That is at Kentucky Podcast. Any questions, comments, concerns, leave them in the YouTube comments below. Hit me on the socials. I will see you all tomorrow, or on Monday rather, for another episode of Locked On Kentucky. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.